crime prevention expert, retired Fairfield Police Lieutenant Jim Perez, with Crime on the Mind. Exclusively on Melissa in the Morning. WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
At least in the news, we have learned that there were at least two major swatting incidents in our listening area just this month. It was last week we told you about at the Danbury Mall. There was a swatting incident. And then a few weeks before that, at Notre Dame of Fairfield, there was a swatting incident that triggered a temporary lockdown and parents were in a panic and things got cleared up. But we wanted to understand a little bit better what these swatting incidents are and why do we seem to be seeing them more and more, it seems, in our news. So we have Jim Perez, who is here for Crime on the Mind. And thanks for being back on the show, Jim. We always appreciate it.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Yeah. Tell me about these swatting incidents. Are these like prank calls? What are they?
Yeah. First of all, swatting is a dangerous hoax, but it's a criminal hoax where a false report is usually made to the police with the purpose of like luring them to a location. And it always comes out to be like a horrific crime in progress or a crime about to take place. And what it is there are people using false phone numbers that actually call in these swatting incidents just to get a reaction. And the power they derive from it is not monetary. It's just simply because they can. It's like an ego thing. So these things, the problem is these things become very dangerous. Now, they've been around for over 20 years. We've never really known about it until celebrities like Justin Bieber, Kim Kardashian, Ashton Kutcher, all these people became victims back in the early 2000s. And that's when it started to gain momentum. But it actually started by gamers online who were actually playing a prank on someone. So they're playing with the person, and the person is streaming live. So they'll call the cops so that the cops respond. And then the video game's recording everything that's happening in the background. And they think it's a joke. But in 2017, a guy by the name of Andrew Finch was killed by police after a group of gamers did exactly that. They took part in a 911 hoax where they called saying that he shot his father in the head, was holding his mother and brother hostage, all this crazy stuff. And when this individual, being confused, of course, and not understanding what was going on, walked outside and the police told him to raise his hand, he actually lowered it, ultimately getting shot fatally because of an encounter with police. And if you think that this doesn't happen everywhere, it happened at the White House back in January where a 911 call was placed saying that there was a fire somewhere inside. So, of course, police fire, all first responders respond, and the Secret Service deemed it to be a hoax. So this happens everywhere, and it happened to us in Fairfield a few years back where we had to lock down all 27 public and private schools at the same time, which is a monumental task.
What happened in Fairfield? When did that happen?
So that was probably, I want to say, 7 years ago, maybe 8 years
wow.
ago. But what happened was, it was 9:30 in the morning. I remember it clearly. The chief at the time, Gary McNamara, was actually on vacation heading to Vermont. And at about 9:30, all hell broke loose. We got a phone call that somebody was being held hostage on Black Rock Turnpike. They gave a specific number. When we got there, our officers could not locate the house. So we immediately created like a 4-block radius where we were checking the house. And while that was happening, we get a call that at one of the schools, Holland Hill, there was a guy with an AK-47. Then a few minutes later, we get a call that at Ward High School and both Ludlow and Ward each had pipe bombs on the ground.
Oh my gosh, that's insane. I mean, when you have something like that, and again, you know, this is something that dates back, you know, years ago. But do you have to then bring in police from other towns and cities? Like, what is the protocol, Jim, in that sort of a situation where you've got multiple swatting calls coming in?
Listen, any one of these incidents becomes such mayhem and such craziness. Think about it. You have to set up a staging area for the press, for the ambulances that are coming, for the parents. And these all have to be in separate locations at the same time. For all responding police officers, we had to assign at least two officers to every single school. And officers were coming from everywhere. Listen, when there's an incident that happens, be it an active shooter or a credible lockdown or anything like that, you're going to get a major response from first responders, but more importantly, from law enforcement. And they're going to come from everywhere. You're going to see patches. I remember during Sandy Hook, I saw so many police patches that I couldn't even identify some of them. Yet, yeah, they were, and we were literally holding up that town for 3 weeks about
That's
just
insane.
Because all mayhem that had happened. So swatting is usually false. However, we could never take that risk as law enforcement. So we will always, always respond. Mm-hmm. And it's usually a respond, but it's such a drain on resources that, I don't know. We have to figure something else out, but I'm not sure what we can figure out. I will tell you this. The incident in Fairfield, we were able to make an arrest. The individual, I believe, was from the state of Ohio. I could be mistaken, but we through the FBI and all these other agencies, we were able to trace it back to this dope who was sitting in his basement literally doing these things.
We have Jim Perez here, who is our crime prevention expert and co-host of Crime on the Mind each week on WACC. We're talking about swatting incidents, and they have been happening more and more. At least we're highlighting it more and more within the last 20 years, according to Jim. And when I was looking up just some statistics online, Jimmy, it says that swatting carries a high risk of violence, according to reports. It causes resources of about $10,000 per incident to be wasted by a city or county responding to a false report of a serious law enforcement emergency, as well as liability if things go wrong. Now, of course, that number can change, fluctuate, be smaller, larger, whatever the case may be. But I would imagine to respond to swatting incidents, it's not cheap. I mean, I think that's the point, right?
Well, not only is it not cheap, but when you create a strain on resources, then people with true emergencies aren't going to have the response time that they're looking for.
True.
That's just the sad truth of it all.
Yeah.
But let's talk about how do swatters get their information. I mean, where do they get it?
Yeah, where do they come from? Exactly. Like you brought up that Fairfield situation from 7-8 years ago, and it came from Ohio, and it was such a big swatting incident that they were able to get police to have to lock down all 27 schools in the Fairfield district. I mean, that's pretty significant, and they knew the names of schools. And granted, I understand you could Google stuff like that, but why even go through that effort? Why would a guy in his basement in Ohio do it? And that's where I want to know where these calls are coming from, and how did you land on their radar? How did Fairfield of anywhere land?
Because it's just, believe it or not, it's like breaking out a map and just putting your finger somewhere with your eyes closed.
Seriously? It's that simple?
It's that random. However,
wow.
I look way beyond that, and I see multiple dangers in these swatting calls, because someone can place a swatting call just simply to distract while they're doing something else. So the information comes from doxing. The act of doxing is when someone posts private information on a public platform. Bottom line, you're revealing your personal information, home address, IP address. Once the information is out there, the swatting can be done, because remember, a lot of hackers or amateur hackers can also participate in swatting. So that's a serious issue and a serious problem that we have to somehow tackle. I don't know. I really don't know the answers, to be honest. I think everyone's doing whatever they can. I will tell you, one police department across the country, Seattle Police, they introduced this thing called Rave Facility to protect streamers. So it's an anti-swatting registry where you could actually sign up. And if you think that you're a person that might get hacked, like let's say you're in the tech industry, video game industry, or online broadcasting community, whatever it may be, if you feel you're at a risk of being swatted, then you call the police and you get on this registry. And what the registry does is anytime there's a 911 call to that specific address, the 911 operators or the dispatchers will have knowledge of that ahead of time, and they'll pass that along to the officers. Of course, the officers still respond, but at least we have information so we don't have to overkill. In other words, we don't have to send the entire department out or get help from other departments to respond to this. But I will tell you this. Fairfield County Police have been excellent. We have been ahead of the game. We've created what's called, you know, we have this registry. We have this this private system where now if we do have a call for mutual aid or for some type of response, we actually can do that in an orderly way. And I think that's phenomenal, because that's going to cut down on fast traffic, possible accidents, things like that when we are responding to it. So just people in Fairfield County can rest assured that all the police departments in the county all the chiefs get together, and they do incredible work by sitting down and figuring out how to make, they meet all the time on how to make community safer, mm-hmm. especially. So people need to know that these systems are in place and these things happen. However, yeah, you can, by having information, I mean, you can watch an anti-swatting public service announcement on YouTube, especially by Seattle Police, if you have more interest. But this registry thing, I think, is a good idea. It's called Rave Facility. And anyone who thinks that they're, any resident that thinks that they can become, or they want to be part of it, they can simply register, and the police will then be aware of it. But I'm not.
So wait, what is it called, Jim? It's, were you saying Ray or Raid?
Rave, like a rave. R-A-V-E.
Oh, rave. I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah.
I want to make
it's
sure.
Okay. Facility. It's, oh. I don't know why they.
Oh yeah, they I see it here. Oh neat, rave yeah. facility. I see it here. That is really cool. Critical facility information. This is neat. Oh wow, that's yeah. really awesome. So you could just.
So there are
that.
Police departments oh. doing things. We just need to kind of work together and try and figure out even more ways to prevent these incidents. We've been good in Fairfield, and I think Milford is learning a big lesson even now with the. Well, we're always learning lessons, right?
Yeah,
every police
sure,
part.
Sure.
But I think Milford with the carnival thing, obviously it turned out to be not true. The only other alternative would have been to mandate all the officers to work and have extra and spend extra money on security. And that's just sometimes that's just not.
That, right. It's just not plausible. I mean, you're exactly because now you're busting budgets. And also we already have shortages as is. So it may not even be
so,
enough. That's so true.
Exactly. So ultimately, I don't know what the exact answer is, but I do know that we are working on it. Every police department is working on it constantly and trying to minimize the response time because it is costly and it is very disruptive.
Yeah. Well, and I think even just being able to understand, you know, this segment is not just so we can understand and get advice on how to, you know, feel more protected when we're out and about. I also think it's important to bridge that gap between police and the public when we can understand, you know, in those swatting incidents, why are we kept at bay for so long, that the moms and the dads mm-hmm. who feel, you know, nervous. And I understand being nervous. I'm a parent myself. I'm scared about those things all the time. But helping to understand what a swatting mm-hmm. incident is, like you hear these terms being thrown around, and just being able to define it and wash it out and understand it better as a community, mm-hmm. I think can also really help with the goal of being able to have a safer community. So I thank you, Jim, for doing that for us today.
Oh, no, you're very welcome. Anytime. Yeah.
You're the best, Jim.
Anytime. Have a great week.
Thank you. You too, my friend. We will talk next week for Crime on the Mind. That is Jim Perez right here on WACC.